In your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter 15. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless as the preaching goes forth. As the scriptures are read, and Lord, your Holy Spirit does his wondrous work that no preacher can ever do. No priest, pope, or anybody else we can think of can do. It's only you, Lord, that can do it. We have to be willing to open the door and let you in to do it. I pray that we will this morning. Blessing the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. There couldn't be a more recognizable story in all of the Bible is the prodigal son. I'm not going to preach on the prodigal son, but you'll find out after we read when I am preaching. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 20, please. Well, excuse me, I'll start with verse 11. A certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. When he came to himself, well, that's an important thing for everybody to do in our lives. When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great far way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh unto the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked him what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said unto his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. it was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead, and is alive again, and was lost, and is found. This whole parable is a classic example of two boys that didn't know what they had. They didn't know what they had. They didn't appreciate their father. Neither of them. I want to preach to you about the elder brother this morning. Many times skipped over. There is a lot of important stuff in here for us to see here. God wouldn't have put it in there. You see, there's nothing in the Word of God that doesn't belong there. There isn't anything in the Word of God that you don't need to know. For one reason or another, we need everything that God has said. He hasn't told us everything, but He's given us enough to be able to live a joyous, prosperous life down here, being saved and living for Him and preparing for heaven. That's what He's told us. So we're without excuse. We've got a book that tells us. We've got a church that's open. We've got a preacher that preached to you. It's not good preaching, but it's something. And so we do not have excuse. These boys didn't know what they had, this father that they had. They didn't recognize it. So many things in our life that we don't recognize. They didn't appreciate. They didn't enjoy like they should have their father. You see, Dad didn't take any inheritance away from them. The inheritance was due when he died, of course. In this parable. But one was impatient, headstrong, rebellious. Does that ring any bells with anybody in here? We're impatient, I'm afraid, with daily things every day. And yours truly included. Patience is my biggest fault, I say. My wife says everything's my biggest fault. But here, some things you just throw to the wind and you never regain. That prodigal son, impatient, rebellious, unappreciative, unthankful, took his inheritance ahead of time, went out and wasted everything. He'll never get it back. It's done. You know the only one he can come back to? His father. He can come back home. Because God's always waiting for us. All we have to do is come to ourselves. Use some common sense to make the right decisions. Seek the will of God in our lives and come back to the Father and be humble. And so he did. He squandered valuable possessions, and he didn't get it back. Everything in life is a test by God to us. didn't have virtue, and so he messed up in the testing. Once you mess up, folks will never trust you. Except the Father. The Father is the one that forgives. The Father is the one that welcomes you back. His brother didn't like that. The elder brother. The prodigal, he was sad until he waited, till he spent it all, is what it says. And then he repented. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And it finally got down into his heart where it belonged. He stopped kidding himself. Boy, that sure smells like hog slop to me. There's times in our life, especially, that we need to wake up. That prodigal had it all, and he left it. All he needed to be happy, successful, prosperous, greatest family he could ever have. That father's picture of God. He got the blessings, he got the forgiveness. He had a robe put on. Instead of shame, he got a robe. It's a picture of Adam. He got a new start. He could graduate from God's testing school. That he'd learned his lesson. He put some shoes on his feet. They started to make merry. They were laughing again. They were singing again. The shoes didn't lighten the load, but it did make it bearable to cope. He said, bring forth the best calf. What? That's a picture of Christ. You're not going to get things taken care of until you bring forth the best calf. It's got to be sacrificed. He continued to gain strength. He was feasting. In verse 24, what does it say? For this my son was dead, a picture of us spiritually dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. It's a picture of the new birth. Born again. This whole parable is about the sons of Abraham. We all come from Abraham by faith. We're children of Abraham by faith. We all have a deep-rooted spiritual problem. We got to get that thing straightened out. Isn't it funny that the worst son that we might say and judge, he's married, he's forgiven, and the elder son, the Pharisee that would judge his brother, he's the one that's angry. He's the one that's bitter. He tended to use superlatives like the words always and never. There's nothing worse than a bitter spirit. And you can learn a bitter spirit from another person that has a bitter spirit. Amen. You need to get around people that love the Lord. That's why God said, assemble yourselves together. Now we might not waste our life on the things of this old world, but live for the Lord. You know, when the older brother was talking to the father here, he addressed his brother. He said, "This thy son." He didn't say, "This my brother." He distanced himself from his brother. He was blaming God. "This thy son." My impression is he didn't enjoy obeying, serving the brother, serving his father. Keep your place here. Go to Psalm 100, please. Psalm 100. Five verses in this psalm. Well, boy, does it have a whole bucket load of stuff for us. Psalm 100, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
I didn't hear you.
Gladness.
That's how we're supposed to serve the Lord. Come before His presence with what?
Singing.
Supposed to open your mouth and make some noise. "Know ye that the Lord, He is God." Who do you think you're playing with? He's God. He deserves to be served. He deserves to be praised and sung about. "It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving." Not apathy. Thanksgiving. Appreciate what you've already got and what you can have. "And into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations." That's what God says. I'll take that over any psychiatrist, psychologist, doctor. When I need help within my life, I don't go looking for those fakers out there that want $500 an hour to sit on a couch or something. I go to God because He's always got the answer. His word is going to stick around forever. He had bitterness. He wasn't enjoying serving his father. That's what he was supposed to be doing, but he wasn't doing it. Go to the New Testament, 1 John 5. 1 John 5. Right after Peter, you get to John, in the last chapter, 1 John 5, verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." You really born again? Are you overcoming the world? Or is the old world overcoming you? He's talking about victory in verse 4, brother. You got victory in your life? You're just going through the motions of life. You have life, or you got abundant life? The father said to him, "Why don't you appreciate what you have?" You're reading between the lines, of course. In other words, he's saying, son, you have me, and you're worried about a baby goat? Your brother got a goat and you didn't. He was jealous over a party. He was right in the presence of all of the blessings being in the Father's house, and he didn't even know it. Didn't appreciate it, wasn't thankful that he was safe, fed, loved, and could serve his Father with gladness. He was right in the middle of it. Didn't appreciate anything. So he had every source of every blessing, and he was mad over one. He was worried about one goat, and he had the whole farm. He had everything, because the Father had it. And he was at the Father's house. The kids don't have to ask for needs. They know that their Father will take care of the needs. When we pray, I'm afraid we ask for our wants, not our needs. A lot of things we pray for you don't need, and he won't answer you. There's a reason for everything. One thing I do know is God can never do wrong. He forfeited the blessing that he already had. Oh, his body was still with the Father, but his heart was far from that. Go to Psalm 37, please. The book of Psalm, chapter 37. What's it say there in verse 1? Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way, the way you live every day, the way you go. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patient for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. God has instructions for us. They're in the book. Everybody here wants happiness in their life. And God is the only one that can give it. You're trying to find it through money, jobs, doing anything you can, that you want, sports, anything. You look for it all in the wrong places. Not going to find it in a bottle. Not going to find it down at the bank. Who are you looking for? Happiness, joy, you get from God, brother. Mm-hmm. Sin has a high price tag. Do you ever walk into one of these affluent shops, clothes shops, and places like that? Just on a whim, you wouldn't even have any idea. You start looking at tags. Talk about sticker shock. Take your breath away. Something that Mama used to make on the sewing machine with a pattern. They want thousands of dollars for. Sin has a high price tag too. Eve was supposed to walk with God, but then she took the fruit. The process of death began as soon as you disobeyed. The thorns started showing up. Her son was killed, murdered by her other son. They didn't know what they had either. Those two sons. The elder brother, he only sees his brother being blessed and lusting after one goat when he's got the whole farm. That's dumb. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. First Samuel chapter 1 and verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, "Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? The elder brother didn't appreciate what he had. Neither did the prodigal. He just put it into action. You know, it's one thing for people to think that you're a fool. It's another thing for you to open your mouth and prove it. And the prodigal son opened his mouth and he wanted his inheritance now. Know what that did to a father's heart? Father didn't care about the money, the substance. He cared that his son had that attitude toward him that had blessed him with everything in his life. He only sees the brother being blessed. The older brother, he won't commune. He won't come to the party. He won't eat. Sits in the corner and sulks. You know, when you have that kind of attitude and you get all wound up in the world and away from God, it'll destroy the joy of what you have. You're not grieving over what you don't have. You think the world has something better, and then you end up destroying precious to pursue trivial, non-lasting things. The peace and the joy goes out the window. Your heart gets all torn asunder. The heart put on its head. Adam, in the garden, his primary function was to walk with God, not to work. But when he ate of that fruit, It didn't bring any joy to him, that's for sure. Eve didn't know pain until she took that fruit. And then she had to have pain in childbirth. She had to obey her husband. Everything gets out of sort when we allow Satan to do his work within our lives. You know the safest place for a Christian to ever be? On your knees. Don't listen to the world about all of that. They flaunt their sin. You'll see pride signs everywhere. I'll never buy anything from Target again. Ever. That's okay, I won't. I won't buy any Bud Light either. Ever. We are to praise, we're to worship, we're to glorify our Father. We have the free will. The fruit can become stumbling block, a wedge. The clothing that God gives is better. Don't wear the stuff of the world. The stuff God says that is right for a child of God to be wearing. Go back to Psalm 27, please. First thing the Father did, bring forth a robe, brother. Take over that worldly stuff. We don't dress like that in our house, the Father said. Bring a robe. Put some shoes on your feet. Psalm 27, verse 4. Somebody with a loud voice, read that for us. Inquire, ask questions. Come to the house of God, ask your questions. Why? He's got a book that has the answers. He says, this is what I desire. I desire and I seek after to get in the house of the Lord and be there all the days of my life till I breathe my last breath. The beauty of the Lord, brother. You're going to see some ugly things out here in the world. When you get full of the world, you're going to loathe the things of God. You'll get the answers at God's house. You're already in the book of Psalms. Go to chapter 51. Psalm 51. Psalm 51 and 11. It says, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You think that's talking about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit? No, it's talking about His Spirit. Read verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me, That's your attitude. That's the way you really are. You can have a wrong spirit in you, Christian. That's what David said. Renew a right spirit within me. So when he says, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me, he's not talking about the Holy Spirit. Brother, once you get the Holy Spirit, you don't lose him. But your spirit should be holy. That's the renewed spirit he's talking about. Take not that spirit, that attitude, that real me that's supposed to be holy. Take not that Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. God doesn't want you in bondage, but you're free. You only have that when you're at the feet of Jesus. Don't appreciate it until you lose it. The old story is about two backsliders. One stayed in the church, one left. I've seen plenty of Christians that came to church for every service and had the worst spirit about them. You watch out, you're not the older brother. Need to care about people's souls because God cares about people's souls. We need to try to be a blessing to folks because God tries to be a blessing to them. Christians are seeking something substandard, and God's offended at that. When God has everything that's good, right? When Jesus was here, he found the sick and he healed them. He cast out the unclean spirit, didn't let that stick around. People even brought a sick man through the roof just to get in the presence of Jesus. Amen. The elder brother didn't enjoy the benefit of being with Dad. That older brother wanted a calf. He wanted the goat. Daddy, Johnny has one, I don't. Christians act like a bunch of children. There's a lot of people I've seen through my 78 years of breathing. And I didn't think they deserved the blessing and everything they got. That didn't change my heart and my life. Romans 12 tells us that we need to rejoice with those who rejoice. We need to weep with those who weep. I'm not the judge, God's the judge. Things fair in life? Nope. When am I going to get something fair when you get to heaven? Any justice down here on earth? Nope. When are you going to get justice when you get to heaven? That's why he's got judgments. One for Christians and one for the unsaved. You're trying to get it all down here. You haven't matured enough to be a good son, have the right attitude. need to get that back. God doesn't force anything on you. He just opens the door. He just opens his arms. That father was looking for that prodigal. He ran to him and fell on his neck, and they wept together. And the elder brother didn't like it. The elder brother was more messed up than the prodigal. Envy, pride, immaturity. You know that Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added." Don't get it backwards. I hope you've learned something about the older son this morning. It's up to you to act upon that. Before we take the Lord's table, maybe there's some business you need to do with God, whether it's in your pew or down at this altar. But God knows all and sees all. It's up to you of free will and choice. Don't go on another day in agony. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word of God that we can learn, be instructed by. I pray, Lord, that faith will come by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. As you said, Lord, help us to hit our knees. Help us to be humble to you. Help us to come back to you and be thankful for what we have. Bless in the invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. In your hymn books, please. That's what this is about, remembering. God wants it to be fresh in your memory what he allowed his son to go through on that cross for you. Tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And you give it thanks, you break it. He said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. How soon we forget. How soon we're not thankful for what we have. He broke it. He had his body broken. Our Heavenly Father, help us to remember what it meant on that cross over 2,000 years ago. May our hearts be clean as we go ahead and part you. May we not dishonor you in any way, shape, or form. May we have true communion with you this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember in that broken body of Jesus. It tells us also in 1 Corinthians 11. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. This fruit of the vine, this juice of the vine, is as pure as you can get it. It represents the blood of Christ. Nothing magical happens when you drink this. It's not actually Christ's blood that was shed once and for all. Hebrews 10 and 6. But he represents his blood and how unworthy we are to be able to have that come into our bodies. But he said to do it. So we're going to remember it. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Heavenly Father, help us to appreciate what we have. Appreciate our Christian life. Help us to live for you. Give us repentance. Give us humbleness. Give us faith and strength. Blessed is to be part of it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the Apostle Peter said, remembering the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. Let's all stand and be dismissed with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless us as we go. Thank you that we can have communion with you. Thank you that you've given us self-will to either obey you or discipline. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love you more and obey you more. May none of the words that were preached this morning hit deaf ears. May they go into our heart. May they do the work you want it to do within our lives. Help us to love one another and love you more. Bless us as we go. Gather us together tonight at 6. Well, thank you in Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Fellowship together. One please.
Don't you just be a baby? Thank you. Thank you.